Well, Merry Christmas and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani. We are live today. It is the day after Christmas, but it is still Christmas because we have the octave, the 8 days of Christmas, and also, of course, the 12 days of Christmas. So, Debbie, we want to encourage people, don't touch those lights and decorations yet.
That's right. That's why we titled the show, Keep the Lights Up. Start celebrating now. It's shouting to the world, Merry Christmas. So we want to hear from our wonderful Take Two family. Can you tell us how you are celebrating, what you are doing with the family, what you are doing with your own spiritual life? How are you keeping the lights up, literally and figuratively, right? You want to be that light in the world. Remember, our pastor on Christmas Eve was talking all about being that light in the world. So important. Please, let's talk about it. Let's share with the world so we can inspire others, influence others to do the right thing. So call in. You don't have to be Catholic. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We'd love for you to pick up the phone because Rich is waiting. He's answering calls today at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. 3986.
Well, we live in a world that starts celebrating Christmas, at least the secular version of it, weeks, even months before the actual Christmas day and the Christmas season. So how do you feel about that? And contrasting that, do you have any neighbors or family members or coworkers who kind of scratch their head when you are still saying Merry Christmas several days after December 25th and when your lights are still up, when most people are yanking them down and putting them up back up in the attic and everything? So what has been your experience with that? You know, if you continue to keep that Christmas spirit, that Christmas theme moving forward for several days, do you get any comments from neighbors or friends or family or anybody? So how do you, as Debbie said, keep the lights up figuratively and literally? 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
It's so funny you said that because years ago in our neighborhood, I had to do a lot of catechizing with neighbors and to explain why we start giving gifts to the neighbors on the day after Christmas, today actually. Mm-hmm. And we start giving gifts and they're like, aren't you a little late? And we're like, no, this is, and we have to really help others to understand this. And it's really interesting. But I will tell you, when you do have that light bulb go off in someone's head where they start to realize how important the Christmas season is and how it starts now, it really is something that can illuminate the whole community. I really mean that. So it's important that we do keep the lights up and we do know how to enter into this Christmas, where right now we're in the octave, so right into this Christmas season, and to do it in a way that is going to spiritually benefit us. What are you doing right now? And maybe you want to fess up and say, hey, I'm one of the ones that I'm listening to Take Two and I'm taking down the lights at the same time. Stop what you're doing and call in. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Yeah, we can also talk about how Christmas is going for you. How was your Christmas Mass celebration? Which Mass did you go to? Does your parish actually have a midnight Mass at midnight? My parish here does, the Basilica of St. Paul in Daytona Beach, Florida. Several hundred people were here for midnight Mass. It was really fantastic. And then how do you keep that going? Here's another question. Did you find that your Advent preparation got you ready? You were really ready when Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, Christmas morning rolled around. And how did that, how was that preparation for you in preparing you for the coming of Jesus at Christmas and celebrating that here for the coming days? 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And we can also share stories about your experience at Mass. So if you want to call in, that would be great. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We count on the Take Two family, so stop what you're doing, okay? Stop taking down the lights, stop throwing out the wrapping paper, stop cleaning up the dishes, all that kind of stuff. Put it aside, make your call, because what you have to say, your story, your experience really can help other souls. Today's the feast day of first martyr, Saint Stephen. So it's a very important day today. And I feel and I love the lives of the saints. Are you paying attention to that during this time, during the Christmas season? Are you paying attention to what is really happening on our liturgical year? It's very, very important for your spiritual health and growth. So please call in and tell us your experience of this whole entire season so far. We want to know the details, not because we're nosy, but because we want to learn and grow. So please dial in.
All right, that number again is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. I'll tell you, it was a good thing, but my feet were really sore the couple of days before Christmas because we were decorating the church, and my pastor loves to just really go all out, you know, and so on our feet. You know, we probably got 200 or 300 poinsettias in the church and trees all over the place. And in the sanctuary, there are 4 very tall trees. So I'd love to hear from those of you if you helped out at your parish. Maybe that was part of your giving back to the church, tithing a little bit of your time, helping out, getting the parish ready, decorated, the trees up, the poinsettias in place, the lights, whatever, what have you, the creches, the nativity scenes. Did you help out with that around your parish? Or maybe in your own home? You know, describe what you do in your own home and how that is that constant reminder from Christmas Day moving forward with the baby Jesus in the manger, and you know what that means for you to have that nativity scene, that creche up in your home or at your church. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Were they real plants or were they artificial?
No, they're real, yeah.
Oh,
no,
wow.
Real,
yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. We had artificial stuff.
A lot
of things
longer
out here in Arizona are artificial. Yeah. It looks like the real thing. I also want to share an experience that happened. It really tested our patience, Marty and I. It was really bizarre. We went to Mass 9 p.m. Beautiful, packed. It was just packed. But I'll share it on the other side of the break. But if you had any interesting experiences going to Mass, maybe you'd like to share that with us. And I agree with Jerry. Kudos to everybody. Round of applause for the art and environment that makes our churches look so beautiful inside. And I know so many of you guys do stay up late, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, getting the church ready for all of us. Beautiful. So keep the lights up. That's our topic today. Please weigh in on this. Share your experience. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Jerry and I will be right back.
So glad you're with us here back live after the 48 hours of Christmas on EWTN. Hope that you were able to catch some of that fantastic Christmas season programming the last couple of days here. So we were not on the air with you live, but we are back today, Friday, December 26th, the Feast of St. Stephen the Martyr. Please pray for us. And we're talking today about keeping the lights up, keeping the Christmas season in front of us here instead of just kind of shoving it off to the side. Now that, you know, it's a lot of people have their lights and decorations and their music and all of that, and then come noon Christmas Day, it's all over for them. And it's too bad, really. So, you know, here's something you can do, Take Two Family. If you had a chance to share with the world right now, you know, why it's important to keep the whole season of Christmas, what Christmas means to you, if you could offer a message of peace, joy, hope, encouragement, enlightenment to the world, what would you say to the world right now during this Christmas time? That could be an interesting something for you to respond to, as well as those other callers that are on the line right now, too. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We will go to the calls. Just want to tell you first, though, that you can get a free ebook from EWTN, Scripture and the Saints, and that combines stunning photography from EWTN's Vatican Bureau, along with Bible passages and saints quotes. So that's Scripture and Saints, a free ebook available at EWTN.com/all saints.
Okay, I love that. I'll share my church experience at Christmas Eve after Dawn. Dawn's going to go first because she's waiting patiently in Hempstead, North Carolina. I believe that's where you reside, at Sirius XM 130. Did I get your town correct, Dawn? And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I honestly didn't hear it, but I'm in Hempstead, North Carolina.
Oh, Hempstead. Okay, with an H. Okay, got it. Got it. Okay. Yeah.
So, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Tell us your Christmas Eve experience.
Well, it was wonderful, and it's still wonderful. I'm an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, and I always seem to forget Easter and Christmas that we may get people that haven't been there, or maybe they're not Catholic, and lo and behold, only always to me, they come, and they're very confused when I say the body of Christ, and they look at me, and they don't know what to do, and then I'm caught off guard because, again, that's not the norm on the weekends that happens. So we had an incident where an usher had to go follow someone to have them consumed. So, but other than that, it was a beautiful, beautiful mass that we had with our adult choir sang beautifully.
Fantastic. Yeah, it all comes together. You know, the music's such a big part of that. And Dawn, thank you for being an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. You know, the church is able to provide so many services and ministries and so forth because of the lay people in many cases. So I just really want to thank you for that. And thanks for sharing your beautiful Christmas Eve experience. What time was it, a midnight mass or a little bit earlier than that, Dawn?
No, the mass I went to was at 6:30. We had about 500 people, but our 4 p.m. children's mass had over 1,000.
Oh, I bet it did.
I wow, love those children's that's mass. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it is. We just dedicated our church in April this year, so that was our first Christmas in the new church.
Oh, that's even more special. Wow, that is great.
Yeah.
Did you have a young child bring up the baby Jesus?
I wasn't at the 4 o'clock. I'm not sure what Monsignor did for that. I just heard it was, you know, wall-to-wall people, which was wonderful. And that's what happened. We opened the week before Easter, I think it was, and the people were outside. And we even have a beach location that we do for Easter, and we were still that crowded. So it's a beautiful thing. And I work there, and we average almost 15 to 20 new parishioners every month since we've opened. So it's wonderful.
Mm. Wow. What, and diocese of what in North Carolina?
Raleigh.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, beautiful. You
so
know,
we need go ahead. I'm sorry, Debbie.
I was just going to say real quickly, Dawn, I was looking at on social media, and there were people were posting pictures of churches in your diocese that were so beautifully decorated. Is that something that you all take part in and do? Because it was on the internet last night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow. I work at the church as the secretary. I do all the communications for our parish. So I do the social media for our parish. Kudos to our arts and environment. Those ladies were there for 2 days straight, Monday and Tuesday, decorating the trees and the poinsettias. Soup to nuts, they did it all, and it's gorgeous. They did a fabulous job.
Wow. I've got to get to North Carolina for the holidays because it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all over social media, Jerry. It's so interesting, Dawn, that you're calling in. And Dawn, thank you so much for working at the parish. I worked at the parish level for 25 years, and God bless you. That shows your heart and how dedicated you are. And like, I agree with Jerry, being an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, you're going above and beyond. So thank you, Dawn.
Whatever the Holy Spirit pulls me to do is what I do.
Wow.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
And thank you guys. I love listening. I have a 5-minute commute. I happen to be in the car a little longer today because we're off and I was doing some shopping. But I only get to listen to you guys for about 5-10 minutes every day. But I always either learn something new or hear something new. So I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks so much, Dawn. Bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas. And thanks again for being part of this Christmas broadcast on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and being part of the Take Two family. Thank you, Dawn. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. If you are tuned in right now, you are part of the Take Two family, and we always rely on you to make the show an impactful broadcast. Dawn got us off to a great start on that note. We're going to get to Joan, but I want to give the number again and just invite you to share your thoughts about keeping the lights up, not just realistically, like keeping the lights on your house and on your tree, but also in your heart and keeping that Christmas theme, that Christmas message going out to the world. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Or if you want to shout a message to the world, please do so. This is your show, your platform. If you have something to share, like Dawn, about your Christmas Eve, Christmas Day experience, maybe you had a really lousy Christmas. Maybe everything you planned for the family didn't happen. Let's talk about it. Remember, Jerry and I are committed to covering this from all angles. So if you have something to say, share it, please. Be prompted by the Spirit. Say yes, lean in, and dial this number. We're very friendly. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And you don't have to be Catholic to call in. If you had a bad experience with a Catholic over Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, call us. We'll talk about it. Let's hear what Joan has to say, Jerry, from Los Angeles, California, on EWTN.com. Hi, Joan. Merry Christmas.
Oh, yes. Merry Christmas, Jerry and Debbie. Okay, so my situation, I'm elderly, so all my kids are grown, and I'm sure a lot of elderly people are in the same boat. I'm a disabled person, so I'm a totally blind person. So my kids have offered, you know, to put up the tree and, you know, bake me cookies, but it's not the same as when you are engaged in the celebration by sending Christmas cards or buying presents or, you know, putting up the Advent wreath, all those things I did when my children were small. And I've been blind for 15 years, so we really haven't had a celebration. My youngest son lived with me, but we haven't had a celebration on Christmas Day. We get together a different day because the kids go to their in-laws or whatever. But this year, I was just thinking more about it, and I thought to myself, well, when Jesus was born, there were no lights or Christmas cards or carols or turkeys or cookies. So in a way, it has been kind of a beautiful experience that I think when you get older and as you approach the evening time of your life, that it's been a beautiful thing that it's just me and Jesus now, right?
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting you're saying this, Joan. Right before we started the show, what were we talking about, Jerry? Being in that silence, being in that quiet, getting connected with God in such a personal, deep, intimate way, not with all the hustle and bustle and everything. We were just talking about this, Joan, right before we started the show. Comments, Jerry?
Well, go ahead, Joan. Were you going to add something else?
Oh, no. I just was going to say, like, you know, it's not. I could have done better. I mean, I should have done better. And, you know, I do what I can. I'm not a well person either. But I think that for a lot of the elderly people and the homeless people out there, like, I don't know, like Jesus knocks on the door. Like, I don't know. It's just been a beautiful thing. And I just think it's good to, I don't know. It's not anything I did, right? So I forgot what I was going to say, but it's all right. We're good. Go ahead, Jerry. Sorry.
Well, no, I think what you're sharing is very beautiful, Joan. You know, sorry that you have the sight vision disability. Sounds like you are at peace with that, and perhaps hopefully have, you know, gotten a little bit used to it. But, you know, you make such a really good point. You know, we talk about, you know, so many different things at Christmas, like the creche, the nativity scenes. You know, they're without Jesus until Christmas, the Christmas masses come around, and then all of a sudden Jesus is there, and that really needs to be the focal point of where we turn. You know, the lights are nice, the trees, the garland, the decorations, all of the different scenes. But really, when it gets right down to it, it's about Jesus and not just seeing him, but also having him in our hearts. And Joan, it sounds like you really do have a beautiful place in your heart for Jesus. And you're right. You know, when he was born, there weren't all the lights and all the things that we have now. You know, everything that we have is good. You know, all these decorations and things are good for celebrating Christmas. But what it really boils down to is the presence of Jesus and finding that place for him in our hearts. Mm-hmm.
I love what you just said, Jerry. Joan, any comments? Joan, I love your spirit. And I just want to say, Joan, having gone through some pretty major eye issues last year and this year, and I'm facing a couple operations coming up next year. Joan, you're my hero. You sound fantastic. And Jerry, I agree with Jerry. You sound like you're coping so well. You're thriving. God bless you, Joan. You definitely live up to your name. I'm sure St. Joan of Arc is one of your favorite saints.
Actually, yes. And I just wanted to say, I wrote something one time in a poem, and the line was that God gives us gifts strangely packaged, right? So it's a gift strangely packaged. And the gift that I have, that I was given by God, is not unique to me. It's many people, and a lot of people have those kind of gifts and sorrows that nobody sees, and, you know, everybody has them. But I don't know. I think people pray for me, and, you know, God's been good to me, and I have no complaint, actually. Shouldn't have.
Wow. Yeah, you definitely are my hero. Amazing. I go to St. Lucie all the time. Do you love St. Lucie? Do you know about St. Lucie?
I do, and don't worry. Even if, I mean, it's like people say to me, how do you do what you do? I could not do it. Well, of course you could. God gives you the grace. It's called actual grace. You don't need it until it happens. Mm-hmm. And if it happens and when it happens, God will give you the grace to do what you have to do. So there's no worries anywhere.
Wow. Do your children notice how strong you are?
Well, I think it's called stubborn, Debbie.
Okay, then I want to be stubborn like you then, because I think you're awesome.
Well, again, right, people pray for me, and my kids are wonderful to me, and, you know, but, you know, God's been good. And I don't know, what can I say? I don't know. I'm just here. And it's not a piece of cake. It's not easy. It's difficult, to be sure. Have a lot of hard days, difficult days, bad days. But overall, like, our life's not here. How long can I be blind? You know, 20 more years, and then maybe I'm doing my purgatory here. Why would I complain? Mm. So it's all good.
Oh, bless your heart. You're beautiful. Joan, Merry Christmas. Call us anytime.
Merry Christmas. Yes. Merry Christmas to you. You have a wonderful day. Bye.
God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Wow, we are live with you today on this Christmas broadcast. Merry Christmas, indeed. It is still the Christmas season here at EWTN and all throughout the world, especially as celebrated in our beautiful Catholic faith. So if you have got an experience of your Christmas season thus far, how your experience at Mass went, did you get a chance to help with the decorations at your church or even mm-hmm. at your home? Are you keeping the season, the tradition, the theme going, and does that get noticed? Maybe by neighbors that they still wonder why you're still saying Merry Christmas, or at the grocery store, or if you have a message you would like to share with the world about Christmas hope and peace and joy, jump on board here at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And yes, after the next break, I will share my experience. I just got a message from one of our listeners saying, are you going to share your experience and keep us in suspense? It's not that thrilling, but I will tell you, it did test our patience, and it was very interesting how it happened. And it turns out it happened to be an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, which that was unfortunate. So, and I'll share a little more of the details, but we need the phone lines to light up, Jerry. And we did almost have a full board lit up, and then everybody dropped off. So call back, please, because we'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. How do you keep the lights up on your house, on your tree, in your neighborhood, in your hearts? We want to talk about that because it's important. That's the reason why we're sharing it. Should we say hello to Kathy before the break just to make sure she doesn't hang
sure.
up? Okay, Kathy in Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. Thank you so much for waiting. We wanted to say hello, but you got to stay with us through the break. Hi, Kathy. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Do you want to get started? We have a minute.
Sure. I just had a beautiful experience on Christmas Eve. I'm a Eucharistic minister of Holy Communion at our local Catholic church. And on Wednesdays I work, so I was able to go on Christmas Eve. And my first person I visited was laying in her bed, not feeling well, but I offered her communion. She told me about her granddaughter. She told me about her family. She's looking for a new church. We discussed that because she's new to our area. I was able to provide her with a rosary for herself and her
Perfect. Kathy, hold on. You stop at the rosary. Remember that to hear the music. Stay with us. We want to hear the rest of the story when we come back. Please join the conversation, guys. This is your show. Keep the lights up. That's what we're talking about today. We'll be right back.
Christmas season continues. It did not end yesterday. So Merry Christmas again from everyone at EWTN, and especially all of us here on the show team at Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you, it is your show. We're talking today about your Christmas experience so far. If you have a word that you would love to share with the world today about the meaning of Christmas, what it means to you, and what you would like it to mean to the world, please join us. If you have any have had any interaction with neighbors or anybody about, you know, making sure that you're keeping those lights up and keeping the Christmas and wishing people a Merry Christmas still? And if you've gotten any comments or thoughts about that, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Kathy in Sunbury, Ohio, thanks for holding on through the break there. Now, you were sharing a number of things about your Christmas experience, and then you got to the rosary. So just rewind about 10 seconds and then let us get started again.
Okay. I'm a minister of Holy Communion at our local Catholic hospital, and I was visiting a woman and was able to provide her with communion and gave her two rosaries that I carry, one for herself and one for her granddaughter. And she also wanted information on how to volunteer at the hospital, so I told her I'd come back after I got done offering communion for everybody. And I went back, and she was standing up out of bed, and she said, "Oh my gosh, I feel so much better since you were able to offer communion to me." So that made my Christmas Eve.
Oh yeah, that's a miracle, Kathy. That's beautiful. That's our Lord, and you were able to be that vessel that you said yes. And I think extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion for hospital, for homebound. It is a special, unique ministry that only certain people, I think, are called to do. And Kathy, just by the fruits of that, with that person that you encountered, I mean, God is definitely using you and using you brilliantly, and it's working. I love that. I love when I hear stories like that, Jerry. You've been on your assignments where you've visited hospitals.
Yeah, I've been a hospital chaplain's assistant and done a summer of an internship as part of my seminary formation. Mm-hmm. And even right now, my pastoral assignment at the seminary, Kathy, is going to a nursing home with mostly retired religious sisters. So God bless them. But I just know that what they just light up when you bring them the Eucharist, Kathy. Isn't that your experience? I mean, when I was in the hospital last year at this time with my back issue, I remember it was such a great blessing when somebody showed up with the Eucharist. So Kathy, you must get a lot of beautiful reactions when you show up in people's rooms.
I do. They love it. And I worked at this hospital in my younger years, so I was used to going into hospital rooms. It's not a calling for everybody. Mm-hmm. It can be overwhelming, but it's something that I know I can do.
Wow. Well, you're doing it well, Kathy, and thank you so much for sharing with the world today the beautiful experience. You don't have to give us the lady's first name because I don't know if that's a violation or anything, but I just put her in the book. God knows who she is. I want her to have continued healing, whoever this beautiful lady is.
Oh, yes, and to find a church.
And to find a church. Okay, I put that in there too. Find a church and healing. Okay, got it. I brought the prayer book out.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Kathy. God bless you. Merry Christmas. I should probably just state this. Starting the new year, I decided that I'm going to spread out my desk a little more, and I'm always going to bring the prayer book out because it seems like we always need the prayer book. So I'm just going to let all the Take Two family know that it'll be out permanently. That's a lot easier. I'll just make room for the prayer book.
There you go. All right, let's make room for us. Oh, before we go to Sue, I just got to mention real quick, we'll get right to you, Sue, in a second, but we want to congratulate another EWTN radio partner, Holy Family Radio. They have four stations. They're in Battle Creek, Bedford, Grand Rapids, Kentwood, Kalamazoo, and Vicksburg, Michigan. They're celebrating 15 years with EWTN this week. So congratulations to Vince Gale, Robert Muldernick, and their great team at Holy Family Radio from your friends here at EWTN.
So cool. Okay, Sue in Maumee, Ohio, listening on our friends at Annunciation Radio. Hi, Sue. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm calling from Maumee, Ohio, as I stated to Jerry, and our beautiful, beautiful church that we have has a committee of about five ladies and one guy, because he's married to one of the ladies, that help decorate. And I, the last 2 years, have helped both with the Christmas decorating and the Easter at time, and getting all of those poinsettias wet and making sure that they stay alive and just just everything that this gal that is in charge says, okay, we have to do this. We have to set it this way. This is where the trees go. And at the end of the day, our church is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. I cannot even detail you how beautiful it is and the many, many ones of our parishioners who stay there. And truly, we were there for like 6 hours just decorating all of it. And it's just so beautiful when at midnight mass, I'm singing and I see all of this beauty.
Oh, is this St. Joseph's in Maumee?
It certainly is.
It's, I thought so. Okay. I know the area because I used to fly back twice a year to do your pledge drive. And now I do
yes,
it. Yeah. I love your churches. Wow. I was just telling Jerry, it's so beautiful. You guys do such a great job. And you know what I love about the Diocese of Toledo? First of all, you have a great shepherd in Bishop Daniel Thomas. But I will tell you that it's beautiful because it's like you take ownership of your parishes and your community. It becomes part of you. And Sue, I've always said this, the Diocese of Toledo is like a little a jewel in the middle of the country. It's so amazing how I've noticed that about everyone that really talks about their parishes and about their faith and their community life. It's so beautiful. And I'm just wondering, Sue, do you recognize it? Because from not living there and then visiting, I saw it right away.
Yeah, it really does. And just, I'm not originally from Maumee, but we moved there 20 some years ago. Mm-hmm. And that we lived in Swanton and Toledo and, you know, areas around there, but nothing like what we have at St. Joe's Maumee. There's just, mm-hmm. it's just, and it's not the same pastor all the time. It's been various pastors, but they all have Jesus as their most important thing about them.
Beautiful.
Oh, praise God. You know, Sue, I want to not only thank you for calling, but I'm going to use your call as an opportunity to encourage others who are listening right now, get involved at your parish before Christmas. You know, call them up a week or two before and say, when are you going to be decorating? Do you need help? Can I get involved? Because like you shared, Sue, when you were there and you were singing at Mass and you looked around at how beautifully decorated the church was, you had, like Debbie was saying, a little piece of ownership. You know, mm-hmm. you were able to say, I helped to make this possible. And when we think about how many people, not only at the Masses, but even here at my own parish, we have morning Mass at 9, and then the church is open until noon. A lot of tourists and people come. You know, people are just going to be dropping in and seeing that, and that's going to enrich their holiday, their Christmas experience to such an extent. So, Sue, thank you so much. And everybody else, Take Two family, get involved, because it really is. It's going to give you a great feeling. The Lord's going to be pleased, and you're going to be, who knows who's going to see these beautiful decorations that have been put up, and that's going to maybe bring them back to a time mm-hmm. in their life, you know, when they were a little kid and they really were going to church all the time. So it could be life-changing for certain people. Sue, thank you for that.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you both.
Mm, yes. Beautiful.
God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas, Sue. Thank you.
That was
I really believe that.
That was a great call.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That just really hit me really strongly right there. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're helping out with things like Knights of Columbus groups are great about mm-hmm. that, women's groups and all of that. But I would guess anybody in the parish, Debbie, who the pastor, the parish staff would love to have people call in and say, hey, how can I help with this? Mm-hmm. What do they say? Many hands make light work. So
that's right. Beautiful. Okay, we're going to go to Kathleen next. We're going to wish her a Merry Christmas in Cullman, Alabama. We took a retreat there. We love Cullman, Alabama, Kathleen, on Sirius XM 130. Merry Christmas and welcome.
Merry Christmas.
Hi, Kathleen.
I just wanted to share two things that we as a family do.
Okay.
My husband, may he rest in peace, was raised in an Italian family, whereas I'm an Irish Catholic. And his family did Feast of Seven Fish. So over the last 60 years, we have continued that process and custom. So we have the Feast of Seven Fish on Christmas Eve. And we invite folks that don't have any place to be on Christmas Eve, and to join us, and people that are alone, And so that's carried on over the years. But what I wanted to point out was that I have a 7-year-old great-granddaughter that over this last few years has been able to come early enough to help set the table with the characters from the creche. I don't have room to put out my creche, but I put it out on the table Christmas Eve. We had 18 at the table this year. Wow. And so while she was, unwrapping the characters, she and her mother and her aunt were talking about who the characters were. That was her little education, because she's not being raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. And then on her way out, she got to plug in the character of Jesus. I've got the Nativity in Light. And Jesus was laying down up until Christmas Eve, and then he was stood up and lit as she was leaving. So that was her process in the helping to establish that Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen. Amen. Kathleen, thank you. Thank you for sharing what you did. And, this example of your great-granddaughter, kids, they're full of wonder. They want to know, they want to learn about things. And when the Christmas season comes around, they see their senses are just taking everything in. But if they're not, getting any kind of formal explanation or education or training about all of this, then that sense of wonder can be a little bit underdeveloped or maybe unfulfilled. But now you are giving that opportunity to your great-granddaughter. And I'm thinking of other things like in my parish here, they had the school, it's K-8, they had the Christmas program that they put on, and the kids get to dress up like the Bible characters and all of this. And Debbie, it just really is going to stick with them for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Going to be
absolutely
so foundational for them.
And I love how Kathleen brought up her late husband's tradition, the Italian traditions, and it's so true. When we can carry those beautiful family traditions and practices along to the next generation, let other people experience it. It is so important, and to catechize along the way, like Jerry was saying. See, our stories, what we say, how we conduct ourselves, how we interact, it matters, guys. It matters. And people's lives are changing, and they're absorbing what they hear. In fact, people are absorbing what they hear right now, driving in their cars, listening to EWTN and tuning in to Take Two. They're learning. And that's how beautiful God is using the radio airwaves. I just love that call. Kathleen, thank you so much. Virginia, hold on. You're a first-time caller. And Christine as well. Hang on. I want to share something because it's so interesting how God works. We're highlighting Light of the East Radio Sunday morning at 11:30 Eastern Time, okay? And it's Father Thomas Loya and his guests explore the rites of the Eastern Catholic churches that are in full communion with the Pope, okay? And Father Thomas Loya, I quote him all the time on Catholic radio. Why? Because he's the one who said at a pledge drive, we were working together on a pledge drive, and he said, God is sanctifying the airwaves. That's what he was talking about with Catholic radio. It's so true. God is using the airwaves in such a beautiful way. Oh, I just love Father Thomas Loya. I love, because I'm you know me, Jerry, I'm totally into icons. So anytime he speaks, he has that deep sense. And I just love that. I talk about absorbing things. I absorb it all the time.
Beautiful. All right, as promised, Christine, hang on. You are right after Virginia, who's a first-time caller from the Cleveland area, listening to our friends on The Rock. Hi, Virginia. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you both.
Thank you.
I hope you had a wonderful day. It sounds like it, starting with Mass. Mm-hmm. I did so also. I am with you on the lights, the Christmas tree and all that, but why I called was, I have a little tradition of my own. I'm on a very small pension in Social Security, and it had gotten really hard to buy gifts for my grandchildren or my children even. And so the last few years, I've been giving them monetary gifts in an envelope with a letter, it's a personal letter to each one about our experience over the past year together and this year. The seven of them surprised me with another letter to me, acknowledging what we have done over the past year. And I just thought it was might help other people who don't have the finances to give a gift or buy a gift. I donate, and maybe someone, you know, could use my idea because it worked wonders with my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. They're 14 to 33, so they're not little ones anymore. So you just can't go buy a hot rod, hot wheel car for a little boy anymore.
Right.
So what do you think about that, Debbie? You always have some great ideas. Mm-hmm.
I think that is so amazing. I love it. I'm trying to hold back the tears because what you did is you positioned those gifts from your heart, and then you got a heart encounter back from your grandchildren. And I mean, so many of us as grandparents, we would kill for that. And that is amazing. What you have is a complete, beautiful recipe for soul to soul connection. As with children and their grandparents. That is precious. Virginia, you got it. You nailed it. And no money, anything, they can't buy it. That kind of interaction is treasured and is valued. And God sees that and blesses that and graces that more because it is meant to be that way. I think you nailed it. And I hope others are absorbing it. And I think it's a fantastic idea. I made a note of it because I think we should do a show on it, Jerry. What I know Jerry has some comments too.
No, I was just going to say, Virginia, your presence is your presence, like being there.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes we get just so caught up in the world. I've never been married or had kids, so I can't speak from personal experience. But a lot of parents think, you know, if I just give my kids enough stuff, they'll be okay.
They'll love me.
They'll be well adjusted. They'll love me. They'll be happy. At the end of the day, you know, what they want is time. You know, they want, because we all, when we come into this world, who are the people that we really basically adore are our parents. You know, they walk on water. They can do no wrong, you know. So when mommy and daddy give us that time and that attention, that is just going to make for such a beautiful, you know, a well-adjusted young adult and into adulthood. Well, Yeah,
but what was beautiful, too, is Virginia gave them time, a year of experiences with them. But then they gave back their take on it, their view of it, and the value that they had. So that had to have just expanded your heart, Virginia.
Because, may I say, my grandchildren, only four of them are with the church. The others have not been brought into. Well, they have all been baptized, but none of them thus I go to church. Mm-hmm. I do take one with me, but in their letter, because I'm not a preacher, I don't preach. I give examples of God's goodness to all of us. A couple of them did bring that up in their letters to me, so that made me feel that God heard. I'm sorry that they. They heard what God is saying.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
That made me feel really great. I just their thought that they would, as young adults, would think to write me a letter. People don't do that anymore. They text and,
that's
you
true.
Know, they go on what all these applications. I don't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, kids don't really communicate with letters. So that really touched me.
So real quickly,
and
I have to ask you. Right. Real quickly, Virginia, did somebody ask them to do that, or who came up with the response of, I mean, I know you did the first letter, but did one of your grandchildren come up with the idea to write you one back, or did their mother or father suggest that?
Not their parents, for sure. I think my oldest grandson may have. I don't know. I didn't ask. But it was just a wonder to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Well, you do realize what's going to happen, Virginia. All of us we don't get that kind of response from grandchildren, we're going to be like forcing our grandchildren to write letters.
Well, right? Good for them. I hope they do, because it's a truly heartfelt ceiling.
Yeah.
It is
beautiful.
It just blew me away. It blew me away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, if you get a letter, like you said, Virginia, in today's age, especially for younger people, if you get a letter, you know it is from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just hear the joy in your voice, Virginia.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Call us again, Virginia. That was a winning recipe you shared with the world. So thank you so much. Merry Christmas. Thank you. We got to get to Christine because Christine is on the road in Virginia on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Christine. Merry Christmas.
Hi, Merry. I'm going to say Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Three in a row and four of Weihnachten, because Happy Christmas is what we say in England. Mm-hmm. I'm also half German, and my mother lived in France for years. And I have to say, I just was listening to Virginia. My mother is always a wonderful letter writer. And does the same thing where she'll put a little faith tidbit in her letters. And I've actually kept them for all the years, and as much as I could. And I keep them in a folder, a binder, and I'm hoping to pass those on to her great-grandchildren one day, or read them out or something when she's no longer with us.
Beautiful.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely beautiful. In fact, Christine, I don't know if you were listening the other day, but we were talking a little bit on the show about saving voicemails from, you know, parents who are deceased now and loved ones and so forth, going back and listening to those, and it gave us a show idea, so we put it on the show calendar. We're gonna put, you know, what have you kept and cherished from your parents, but it's just a great way to pass along, you know. It's unfortunate. I don't think in our day-to-day that family means what it meant a generation or two or three ago, and that it gets passed down because those family traditions, thoughts, the love of families, even family names, all kinds of different things are really not that much a part of young people's lives anymore, you know, Debbie. And I think that, you know, it's just anything that we can do to keep family intact and keep family alive in our hearts and our memories
communicating.
And our minds. Yeah. And communicating. Yeah, I think anything like that is very, very beautiful.
I totally agree. And Christine, it says here on the notes, you had family that needed you over the holidays. What can you share a little bit real quickly?
Yeah, so it's interesting, Jerry, you were saying that. And we're a military family through and through. My husband served for 30 years in the American military. I was in the British Army, daughter of a World War II vet. And our son is serving, and our son-in-law is serving. The military duties spread us out, and that's just been the way of life. I was born in England. I'm half German. My mother and parents lived in France. So we've always been very separated. But Christmas time is one of those few times you maybe can get together. I was feeling a little bah humbug about Christmas this year because my mother, like I said, lives in France, and actually my cousins in Germany helped her make the move. She's 89 to Germany. Very long story, but which meant that she was not, and that was just a week ago, which meant that she was not going to be with us, which she often comes and spends Christmas with us. And that's German-English link, I should say.
Got about 30 seconds.
Well, when you talk about family traditions, you know, I'm thinking about family and food, not just the presents. My daughter said they were very sick. And you know what it's like when you've got a little one and mama is sick. Everybody's down, so I made the decision I'm going to have to go to Virginia to be with her, which meant leaving my husband and also our son and his children and wife, and one of them it's actually her birthday on Christmas Eve. But
Christine,
in the end, it was a blessing. It was a blessing. I spent time with family.
Beautiful.
Good. No, fantastic. What a great note to end this broadcast on. Christine, mm-hmm. sorry to cut you a little bit short there, but fascinating. Thank you and your husband and all of your family members who were in the military. We love the military and first responders and nurses and teachers and all kinds of people who serve us in so many ways. And we love our show team as well. Today that was Rich, Michael, and Pedro. Take Two Family, you knocked this out of the park again as usual. Want to say after the intercession of St. Stephen the Martyr, his feast mm-hmm. day today. Mm-hmm. On Monday, we're going to talk about forgiveness to start the new year. Mm-hmm. Very powerful theme and very powerful topic coming up on Monday's broadcast. So until then, Merry Christmas. Have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll talk to you real soon.